Okay, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord God, to be in your presence, Lord God, to worship you and to pray to you, Lord God, and to hear your word. Lord God, I just pray that your spirit may come upon me, Lord God. I pray that you may, Lord God, just speak your word, Lord God, through me, Lord God. Speak, Lord God, what you desire, Lord God, to be said, Lord, to your people. May you encourage us, Lord God. Encourage me, Lord God. Strengthen us, Lord, and ready us for your coming. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, tonight, I'd had it on my heart. I had asked Christian if I could speak tonight a few weeks ago. But I was going to speak on something else, and then things just kept changing. So what I'm going to speak about tonight is healing and speaking about the Lord's return and how they kind of come together. And the Lord's put on my heart to share a few stories with you guys, a few testimonies, and I hope they encourage you all along with some scripture. First scripture I want us to look at is 1 John 3:8. So if we can all turn our Bibles to 1 John 3:8. Okay. This is what it says. It's the last sentence that I want us to really look at, but it says this. Verse 8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Okay, now I want us to say that to our neighbor. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Say that to your neighbor, please. Okay, yeah, to destroy the devil. Amen. Okay? That's a good sentence to memorize. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Okay, so now what was the devil's work? What did he do? Okay? We know in Adam and Eve, what did he do is he brought sin into the world through temptation. He caused Adam and Eve to sin against God. He brought that division. And what is Satan's work in us now, through all humanity, is to destroy us spiritually, physically, and mentally. Okay? Satan hates us. He wants to steal us from God. He would rather us not even live. His best scenario for us is that we die in the womb. Okay? He hates us. All right? He is the inflictor of the diseases. He is the inflictor of all evil upon us. And the reason Jesus came was to destroy the devil's work. Now I want us to turn to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at Jesus' first recorded sermon. Luke chapter 4. We're going to be flipping around a little bit, so have your Bibles ready. All right. Luke chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 14. I'm going to read to verse 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me, to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And this is what the Lord Jesus spoke about. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And we look at his next action after this message and his dealings with the people of Nazareth. Let's skip down to verse 31. Let's read to the end of the chapter. I'll go ahead and read a verse. You guys read the next verse. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice. "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Let's continue to read. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Okay, so right after Jesus has preached, right after he spoke to the people, what he did, destroying the devil's work, he went out and he began to cast out demons and to heal those who were inflicted with any disease. Any disease, it says in verse 40. It says, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Okay? And so some people say, though, all right, well, Jesus did this. He did this great healing act. But does his healing work stop after he died? Is that it? Was it just, you know, those people that were lucky because he was there, but now that he's in heaven, that healing ends? I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verses 28 through 30. Okay, and this is Jesus' instruction to the people around him and to all his followers. He says this, chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. "Come to me, O you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Okay, in John 10:10, he says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Verse 35. Okay. Jesus has said these things to the people there. Now he says to all of us, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." His promises are eternal. Okay? His calling for us to come to him when we are weary and burdened and to give us rest, it is eternal. It is for all of us. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Okay? I want you to say that to your neighbor. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? All right, he is unchanging. His desire to heal us is unchanging. His power is unchanging. And I want to share just two stories of friends who experienced this healing inwardly. Okay? Just by God's grace, by Jesus touching their hearts. Okay? And the first friend of mine, her name is Simi. Okay, and I emailed her recently and asked her to just send her short testimony. I'm going to intertwine it with my memories of her, okay? This is Simi's story. She's Korean-American. "I grew up with both of my parents until I was in my sophomore year of high school. Ever since I was little, my dad was somewhat of an alcoholic and gambler. He was the type of father that would provide not much. He would provide just showing a little love. He was the type of person who would treat everyone around him bad if he was not in a good mood. So his love for me and my family was very conditional. He was abusive. And eventually he ran away from the family with the car and all the money during my sophomore year of high school. After that, I knew I hated him with every inch of my being. In a way, I was glad he was gone, even though he took everything away. I didn't want to see him ever again. So after that, it was just me, my mom, and my brother for a while. My dad never came back, even after I went off to college. Okay? That was her testimony before coming to college. Because her father took away all their money, she actually had to live with friends. Her and her brother had to live in Virginia, while her mom continued to work in New York, because her mom just could not care for them. And so that was her state. And when she came to college, I was a fifth year. I was in my last year. And I was leading the freshmen in my fellowship. And she just happened to come out. And for some reason, she just kept coming. And after a couple months of the fellowship, she accepted Christ. And Simeon, when she accepted Christ, she was just so full of joy. Just so beautiful. Just excited about God. She wanted to go to every small group, Bible study, prayer meeting, fellowship gathering. She wanted to do it all. She was just starving for the Lord. She was just a baby Christian. Okay? And when I would look at her, I would think of Isaiah 40:11, where it says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." And that's what I thought of when I would watch Simi, as she was just hungry and thirsting for God, just so young and just loving him so much. But I also knew about Simi's past. And I knew that at some point she would grow. And it would be time for God to set her down and for him to tell her, "Okay, Simi, it's time for you to forgive your father. It's time, okay? You know, I've loved you. I've forgiven you. It's time for you to do the same." And I knew that this would be something that would be very, very difficult, okay? Outside of the Christian faith, this is something that takes years of counseling and usually can never happen, okay? And I just knew that, so I kept praying. All I could do was pray and wait, because I knew that was just all I could do, was just pray and wait on the Lord's movement, okay? And the following spring, about 5 months later, we went on a fellowship retreat. And the prayer time at the retreat the last night, the prayer time was just powerful. The Spirit was really moving in power. And a pastor went around and was praying for people. And some people just really fell under the power of the Spirit. And Simi was one of those people. And I just remember that night, she just fell. And she was under the Spirit for maybe about 45 minutes, maybe about an hour. And she was just shaking. And you could tell it was just the Spirit ministering to her. And I remember I just prayed in tongues over her just a little bit, but the Spirit was doing His work. And so I knew she was in good hands. And you know, I went over and prayed for other people. And I remember after the retreat, she was just extra joyful. And but I didn't know right away what had happened. It wasn't until later that I asked. And this is what she told me. This is her story. She says, "Before heading over to the retreat, we made a stop at a gas station. At the gas station, my friend Chan told me to get this drink called Jones Cream Soda. So I bought it. I remember while I was in the car on my way to the retreat, I opened up the bottle cap from the Jones Soda, and there was a message on the bottom of the cap. It read, 'Talk to your dad.' At that, I got freaked out because I knew this was something I had to do. I just didn't want to do it. But at the retreat, the Spirit came upon me in power, and I was able to forgive my father and my heart. Now it was time for me to put this in action. I emailed my father in Korea as soon as I could and told him that he's hurt me, but that I forgive him. From this, my father was moved and genuinely apologized to me, telling me that he's truly sorry for not being a good father. Through this reconciliation, I found a renewed freedom and made me realize how good God truly is." Amen. Okay? And I remember asking her, "Have you been able to forgive your father?" And she just looked at me with just joy and all sincerity. She told me yes. And then she told me that story. And it was just by the love of God, by His touch, that He healed her of all that abuse, all the neglect, all the rejection, Him abandoning them. He healed her. And He set her free, enabled her to forgive. Other story I want to share with you guys is of my friend Crystal. This is a girl I knew in high school. And she was kind of a partier. She was always hanging around, you know, with boys, going to parties, drinking a lot, just that type of girl. Okay, she wasn't a Christian. So I didn't really know her that well in high school. I just had some classes with her. Well, after I graduated, my sister was still in high school, and she had become friends with Crystal's younger brother. Okay, and she would go over to his house now and then, you know, for get-togethers. And she met Crystal. And she said Crystal was a Christian and just loved God. She would visit, and Crystal would be reading her Bible. And she said, "I really want you to meet Crystal again. She remembers you." She was like, "Okay." And I had remembered, you know, Crystal from how she was in high school. That was my only memories of her. But I was like, "All right, that's great." And I remember at it was baccalaureate, which is the ceremony right before graduation where all the parents and the graduates get together and just have a little celebration. And I was with my mom, and my little sister brought up Crystal to me. And she said, "This is Crystal." And I remember looking at Crystal, and she was just glowing. And she said, "Hey, John Michael." And she gave me a big hug, and she was just glowing, like glowing. And I talked to her, and she started to share with me what had been happening. And after, you know, we talked a little bit and exchanged phone numbers and stuff, and she walked away, I nudged my mom, who had been talking to someone else. I was like, "Did you see that girl?" And my mom said, "That girl was glowing. That girl was really glowing." And I got to know Crystal's full story, what had happened. When she was in college, she went to college and was just partying. Her major was dancing, and that was just all she was doing in college. But praise God, God sent her some friends that were Christian, who started to minister to her, and she just started to go out to Campus Crusade, to InterVarsity, these different fellowships, and she ended up getting saved. And so in college, she started to grow with God. Now, a friend of hers had gone to this program in Kansas City called IHOP, International House of Prayer, and they had done this fire-in-the-night program, okay? International House of Prayer has this 24-hour prayer room, okay? Kind of like this, a bit bigger, okay, with a live band always playing. All right, and people are in there 24/7, all right? Every day, people are in there praying. And this program, Fire in the Night, are these young people, I think ages 18 to 30, that come and they dedicate 3 to 6 months to being in the prayer room every single day from midnight to 6 in the morning, okay? That's 6 hours a day for 3 months straight or 6 months straight, and then just praying, okay? And this girl, her friend, had done it, had been very blessed, and she encouraged Crystal to do this. So Crystal applied, and she went. Now, Crystal's family, though, they were kind of like Christian background, or maybe it was Catholic background, but not practicing at all. They were very much abusive, but in the mental type of way. Not physically abusive, but more manipulative. Mind, you know, just speaking down. Abusive in that sense. And they thought Crystal was really weird for becoming a Christian, and for her to go to do this fire in the night thing, they thought it was a cult. All right, and they were very much against it. But Crystal knew, this is what I need to do. And she went. And during this fire in the night, IHOP is more, I guess, charismatic. It was her first time around that type of stuff. So she started to become more open to it, started to receive it. She started to get very blessed. Now, while she was there, a healing team came in. Okay, and a lot of her friends in this internship were really curious. They wanted to go find out what's this healing seminar all about. And they encouraged Crystal, come on, let's go. And so Crystal was curious too, so she went along with her friends to this healing seminar. And when they went in, it was just a bunch of chairs with the one aisle in the middle. She was the first to go in. So she was sitting against the wall with all her friends in chairs down by her. And they found out that the healing seminar was about just the finding healing with God through knowing that God is your Father, okay? Knowing through who God is, okay? And finding healing in your family as well. And right away, something in Crystal started to tell her, "You got to get out of here. You got to get out of here." And she's like, "I don't want to be here." She's feeling really tired, and she's just like, "I don't want to be here. This is dumb, okay? Like, I learned this stuff in Sunday school or whatever." You know, she's just having these thoughts. But she had been the first to get in a row, you know? It's like, couldn't really get out, and so she just kind of like sat there through it. And they started just preaching about how God is your Father, okay? And I just want to read a couple scriptures real quick that I imagine they mentioned, but I think it's good for you guys to know as well. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. So I'm sure it would be one of those that they mentioned. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 14 through 16. Keep the Bibles ready. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. This is what it says. "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Guys, Abba, okay, you can translate that in Korean, that's Appa, okay? In English, that would be Daddy, okay? That's an intimate form of calling him our Father. All right, now let's turn to Deuteronomy. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 1. How God is our Father. Okay. Read Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. This is what God says. Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. Okay? As a father carries his son, so our father carries us. And just basically this healing team began to preach from these scriptures. And just emphasize that we need to know God is our Father, who He is. Our earthly fathers have been an example to us, whether good or bad, but they have not been 100% that true example of our Father. And they just began to preach this, who God was, that He is their Father, and just all these scriptures. And Chris is just kind of listening through it and just having those urges to leave, but she's hearing every word, all this truth is being poured into her. And at the end of the message, they said, okay, now we're going to have some time for healing. And we want anyone who would like to receive prayer to come forward. And her friends wanted to get prayer, so they started to come forward. They grabbed Crystal. Come on, come with us. And Crystal just, she said that even under her breath, she was saying no, no. But something else in her was pulling her up. And so she ended up going up with the rest of the group. And the people there started to pray over everyone. And when they got to Crystal, they just prayed for her a little, and she just shot back on the ground. The Spirit just came on her in power. And she said she was on the ground for, I don't know whether it was an hour or an hour and a half, but the Spirit was had just gotten a hold of her and was not letting go. And the Spirit, she said, it hurt, okay, what was happening, because she could feel the Spirit just tearing into her inner being, into just all the darkest areas. The Spirit was tearing in. But she also knew it was good. And she was feeling this healing come over her, ministering to her of just all the mental abuse, all the stuff she endured from her earthly father, freeing her of this, enabling her to forgive her father, and also giving her the revelation of God's love for her as her heavenly father. And she said that afterwards, that, you know, I don't know if she could hear it then, but staff there were just kind of surprised by how the Spirit was ministering so mightily. But the head staff said, just leave her alone. And they actually had a break for dinner, and everybody left, except for, I think it was two staff, just stayed there as the Spirit just kept ministering to her, ministering to her. Finally, the break ended. People came in from dinner, and they were starting the next session, and that's when the Spirit finally allowed her to get up. And she said she was just like, whoa, like, what happened? And she wanted to go, but for some reason she couldn't, and she had to sit back down. And then they started the second seminar. And they said, okay, now we're going to preach about how God is your mother. She thought, what? You know, this is crazy. Like, no, you know, this God is our mother. But sure enough, they started to preach. And let's turn to Isaiah chapter 49. Let's see how God loves us also as a mother. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 15, says this, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Let's turn to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 13. Verse 13 says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Okay, and they just began to preach and just share how God is their mother and how God loves them, how God is kind and compassionate, how He is gentle and merciful, how He loves you through everything and cares for you in everything. And again, she was just hearing it, and there was this war going on inside her, but she kept listening. And at the end of the message, they again invited people up for prayer. And sure enough, something in her just dragged her up out of her seat. And she came up and they began praying over people, and they got to her. And again, the Spirit brought her down. And again, the Spirit started to minister, this time for all the scars from her mother. Okay. And all these things, all these the bad example that her mother had been in many ways, cleansing her, enabling her to forgive her mother, and giving her revelation about how God is her heavenly mother and how God loves her and holds her on His knees and comforts her and cares for her. And she was just receiving. And again, she said it hurt, but she knew it was good. And by the time this whole praying time ended, all this healing time ended, it was midnight. And it was time for her 6-hour shift. And so she dragged herself out of the building across to the prayer room. And she said she could barely walk. She was just a mess. And she came into the prayer room, just opening the door and leaning against the wall. And her prayer team leader saw her. From afar, he said, "Crystal." And he ran up to her. You know, she looked a mess at first, but as he got up closer, he looked at her and he said, "Praise God. Praise God." Because he saw the healing. He could see it with his own eyes, that God had set her free, that God Himself had ministered to her, had touched her deeply. God says, "I've come that you may have life and have it to the full." That is His promise, that is His desire for us. And she had been receiving it. And guys, when I saw her after this internship, she was glowing. And she was just so filled with the Spirit. And it was so beautiful. God had touched her so deeply. And His love is not just for Crystal. It is for all of us. For all of us. Amen. Okay, so we know now, Jesus heals, okay? No duh, all right? Jesus heals. But what about us, all right? Can we heal others? All right, let's turn our scripture to Matthew chapter 10. See what Jesus says, commands us.
Matthew chapter 10.
Okay, verse 8. He says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give." This is His command. Now flip over to Luke. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. This is as He's preparing His disciples for ministry. Not just His 12 disciples. All right, in Luke chapter 10, it's 72. Luke chapter 10. Verse 9 says this: "Heal the sick who are there. Tell them the kingdom of God is near you." Okay? And they go. They do what Jesus has told them to do. And God works through His disciples, through His followers in a mighty way. And they return rejoicing. Okay? In verse 18, Jesus says this. He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Nothing will harm you. This is His words to His disciples. All right. Now, what does He say in the Great Commission? He says this. I hope you guys have this memorized. But He says this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And what were His commands to the disciples? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near. Okay, and as I was growing as a Christian, as God was starting to just give me more faith and opening my eyes that He is real and He is alive, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that His words were not just for His disciples, but His words for His disciples to teach their disciples and to keep teaching all the way down to us. His words are for us. I began to pray, God, I want to see a healing. I want to be a part of this. Okay, and it got to be the summer of 2005. I was going to go on an English camp. It's GEM, okay? Now, I shared a testimony about this English mission camp at a prayer meeting earlier. I don't know how many of you guys were there, but it was about a crazy camp where there was a lot of spiritual warfare and just wild stuff, but God delivered us from us, okay? From all those things, God delivered us. This testimony is from the next year, okay? And my prayer going into this camp that God had commanded me to go serve at, and I was going willing. I prayed, okay, God, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do what You called me to do. But God, I want to be a part of a healing. I want to see somebody healed during this mission camp. I just started praying it. And I just felt in my heart God was going to answer. And I remember going to these camps and what these were this year. They were 3-week-long camps, 2 in Umsung, 1 in Taejeon. Okay, and there were about 25 of us English teachers. All from America, many of us Korean-Americans, many of them Korean-Americans, and a few white people as well. And we came over, and we'd gather all these kids in Umsung or Taejeon. For 1 week, we would teach in English, and we would share the gospel with them. But these camps were really rigorous. We were only getting a few hours of sleep every night. So they were very hard. We would pray together every night, and the prayer times would be very powerful because we would just be on the verge of collapsing, and we would just have to give everything to God. And me being the only staff during this trip, or the only staff in charge of the volunteers, I had to keep careful watch over the volunteers, see how they were doing, okay, and encourage them. And towards the very end of the second camp, a girl named Jenny was teaching with her co-teacher Matt. And suddenly she became very, very tired. And she had to leave the room because she was so fatigued all of a sudden. And she ran to the bathroom, was washing her face, praying, what's going on? Just trying to get strength. She didn't want to leave Matt alone. She came back in, tried to teach, but she knew she couldn't do it. She told Matt, I got to go back to the dormitory. Okay, we were renting a college campus. We were teaching in a classroom building. The dormitory is about a 15-minute walk, okay, from the classroom building. She's like, I got to go back. I got to rest. I'm sorry. And so she walked all the way back to the dormitory. And right before she got to the dormitory, one of the Korean staff, all right, that was also volunteering, saw her. And I saw her about to collapse and ran and caught her as she collapsed. And she brought Jenny up and put her in the room, and then they called me. And I went in, and when I went in, Jenny had come to, but she was sitting on the bed, just drooped over, just very weak, could barely talk, couldn't really even open her eyes. And just talking to Jenny, you know, what's going on? How are you feeling? You know, what happened? And she was sharing, she was really tired. And I'd seen this before at previous camps. Some volunteers would just push themselves too hard and would need rest. And I'd have to just let them sleep for like 14 hours, all right, and then they'd be okay. So I was thinking it was just that, just fatigue. But then she shared with me that this had happened to her one time before. She shared with me that when she was, I think, around the age of 19, she had been dating a boy, and then they broke up. And a few weeks after they broke up, she suddenly became very fatigued. And even the smallest of things, the smallest of chores, would just wear her out. She would get very exhausted. And she would have to sleep a lot and just was very tired all the time. And so her father took her to psychologists, to doctors, to all these specialists. And they all said, your daughter is perfectly healthy. We don't know what's wrong. None of them could figure it out. Well, interestingly, her father was a pastor. But it took a couple months, you know, of these visits before he said, okay, you know, maybe we should pray. Maybe this is spiritual warfare and we really need to just pray against this pointedly. And they started to do that. They started to just pray against the disease, pray against whatever was ailing her in the name of Jesus, just doing more warfare prayer. And she was healed. And it didn't bother her until this camp. Okay, and this was 2 years later. So I took that and kept that in the back of my mind, and I just said, okay, all right, I just want you to rest. And, you know, we'll see how you are later tonight. And we'll pray for you at prayer meeting. Okay, so she rested. By prayer meeting that night, this was the last night of this week-long camp. So it was a celebration, you know, everybody was celebrating, having fun, okay. And our prayer meeting, we prayed hard and we did pray for her. But the focus was more on saying goodbye to the kids and more of a joyous occasion And I noticed that Jenny was improving gradually, so I was hoping maybe a good night's rest, she would be all right. Well, that next night, the team traveled to Umsong. I had to travel to Incheon to meet someone, so I had to leave the team by themselves for that day, all day Saturday. And I found out that during that day, after they got off the bus in Umsong, Jenny collapsed again. And so all the volunteers gathered around her and just prayed for her for about 15 minutes. Everybody just praying. And nothing happened. And so the team was kind of discouraged. And they just brought Jenny up to her bed and let her sleep. And by the time I got there, she was still asleep. It was late at night. And I just felt in the back of my mind, if Jenny continues to be sick, I need to grab her and a few just strong, prayerful volunteers and just pray for her for an extended amount of time. This is what I felt in my heart. Sunday came around. The next day, after her long night of rest, she seemed stronger. She seemed good. And so I had that in the back of my mind, but she seemed all right. So I thought, maybe it's just fatigue. We went through the day. She was okay. The next day, we had our opening ceremony, and everything was going well. Cry Band was actually our band at that camp, just random side note. But everything was going really well. And we had prayer meeting that night. And after prayer meeting, I bought pizza for everybody. So everybody was just eating pizza, having a good time, getting prepared for that camp. But I looked down the hallway where we were praying, and I saw Jenny being carried by her sister and another volunteer. And I just saw her being dragged out the hallway. And so I got up and I ran down the hallway. And I whispered to Jenny, who was still conscious. And I whispered, Jenny, would it be all right if just a few of us went into a side room and just prayed for you for a while? And she said, yeah, that would be good. And she just whispered that. And so I told the two of them, all right, put her in that room and just stay there. I'm going to go get a few people and we're going to pray for her. And so I went back into the prayer meeting room where everybody else was. They're all eating pizza, you know, laughing. And I just prayed, God, whoever's not eating pizza and not talking, that's who I'm going to grab. And I just pray that they'd just be ready to pray. And I looked out and there were four people, and I grabbed them and I had one of them grab his guitar. And we went into the room with the three others. Jenny, at this point, was collapsed on a desk. She was sitting in a chair, but her body was collapsed on a desk. And she was out. And I just started to talk to the team. And I had no experience in healing prayer, any of this stuff, but I knew God's heart. I knew that God loves us, and this is why I told him, this is why I know. God loves us, He cares for us, He doesn't want us to hurt, He takes no joy in our sickness, and His power is to heal, His power is in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we just need to pray for her, and I instructed them to just raise their hands, invite the spirit of healing in their hands, so that we lay hands on her. That it may not be just our physical hands touching her, but may truly be Jesus' hands touching her. And I want us to just pray. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the authority of His name. Because His name is the name above all names, over every disease, every sickness, every demon, every stronghold. His name is the name over all names. And to pray for her. And if you just run out of words in your prayers, if you have the gift of tongues, just let your tongue take over. And just pray in the Spirit. And I instructed one of the volunteers, I just want you to worship. And to invite the Spirit and make this room just a blessed place of the Spirit's presence. And so he began to worship, and we began to pray for Jenny. And I remember just this feeling in my heart, I need to pray specific prayers. And so what I did was I just laid my hands first on her head. And I just started praying in the name of Jesus. Spirit of life, minister to her head. Bring life. Bring life. Okay, Lord, rebuke you. You know, sickness, it was just praying. And it's hard to pray now, but when you're in the Spirit was just there, and the prayers were just coming out. And I just started praying. After about 5 minutes, she started to raise her head a little. Okay, so I started praying for her neck. After another 5 minutes, she was starting to raise up a bit. So I started praying for her shoulders and back. After about 15 minutes, she got to the point where she wasn't on the desk, but she was just sitting, hunched over, and still eyes unopened. Okay, And I instructed David, who's just worshiping. I said, lead us in a song. And I actually requested the song, You're My All in All, which we sang tonight. Because I had noticed during the camps, when we'd sing that song, Jenny would just really, it would really minister to her. You are my strength when I am weak. You're the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And we just started singing it and just worshiping God. And like Pastor Sam mentioned last Sunday, we were doing warfare through worship, just praising God. And we worshiped him, and we after we finished the song, I told everyone, you know, let's get back to praying. We started praying, and I started praying for her, I guess it was her left ankle, and her left leg, just praying in the name of Jesus, light come to her leg, enable Jenny to stand up in the name of Jesus, just praying. And after about 5 minutes, she started to rise up a little bit. And she was still very weak, and there were three people just kind of like around her, so she was kind of, you know, they're kind of holding her up, but she was kind of standing. And at this point, I started whispering to her, "How are you doing, Jenny? How are you doing?" And she was able to respond a little. And she said, "There's feeling. I have feeling in my left leg, but I have no control over my right leg." And I just felt like that was God's clear confirmation that these specific prayers were effective and just needed to continue in them. And so I just told everybody, "Okay, guys, let's pray for her right leg. Let's pray for God to just minister to her right leg, to give her full control, the spirit to just overcome." And we start praying, and it just seemed to be like 5 minute increments. After about 5 minutes, I whispered to her again, and she said, "I have control of my right leg, but I don't have control over my neck." And we start praying for her neck. And after about 15 minutes of just straight prayer again, I had to stop again and change praise leaders, because poor David was getting a little tired, and had the other girl lead us in another song, just worshiping God again. And we were just praising Him. And the Spirit was just thick in the room. It was hot. It was so hot. And that was the Spirit's presence. And just worshiping Him. And then we went back into prayer. And after about 10 minutes more of prayer, I think it was about 40 minutes in total, I came to Jenny again and said, "How are you doing, Jenny?" And she said, "I'm good. I have full control of my entire body. I have full control of my entire body." And everybody heard that. And we just started to praise God. And this wasn't Jenny, you know, jumping up and down and stuff, but she had full control. And she was talking. She could move. She needed no one to hold her. She had gone from being completely collapsed, you know, unconscious, to being able to stand under her own power, to be able to move her body under her own power, overcome. She had overcome. And we just were worshiping. And I closed us in prayer, but the Spirit was just so thick in the room that you couldn't really stop the prayer. And people were just kept joining in prayer. And it just kept going for a while, and then finally we closed. And I had her sister and another volunteer just walk her back to the dormitory so she could sleep, and then I had the rest of the team go in another room, and we just shared, you know, what had happened. For all of us, this is the first time being involved in a healing experience. All of us in that room were ages 19 to 23. We were all young and inexperienced college students, and we were just joyful that God had given us that privilege, that opportunity. And we were sharing, and two of the volunteers had the gift of discernment. And they had both said that at one point during the prayer, they had seen something black just come out of Jenny. And, you know, just some sort of shadow come out. And they both confirmed that. And it was interesting. So we prayed protection over each of us, just praised God, prayed for Jenny again, just you know, in that group, Jenny was sleeping, but we prayed for her. And then we called it a night. And the rest of the camp, Jenny was fine. She was okay. She didn't fall back once. She was all right. Now, we made sure she wasn't pushing herself too bad, but she was okay. And she would thank us again and again. "Thank you, you know, for praying for me." And I remember when she would thank us, even weeks after the camp had ended, she would send an email thanking us. What she was the most thankful about wasn't that she had been healed. It was the touch of love that she had felt as we prayed for her, and as God's love ministered to her, as His healing ministered to her heart. That was what she was thankful for more than anything else. And it got to me as I would read her emails. You know, she sent a few, just thankfulness, but really just expressing thankfulness for that, for the love you guys showed me, for the love God gave me in that room. And it just made me think about even, you know, these cripples, these blind people, these lepers in the Bible, how they are healed and they're rejoicing. But it wasn't just that they were healed, you know, from their infirmity, from this stuff that had come upon them because of the fall of man from way back. But they were also full of joy because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had gone out of His way to come up to them and to lay hands on them, to touch them and to love them and to free them. Such joy. And it's just ministered deep into my heart. And I want to go back to a few years earlier. I was in a time of my life. I was about 21 and I was growing with the Lord, but I hadn't really witnessed His power yet. And I was praying a lot. And what I wasn't witnessing His power. What I was witnessing was just the hurt in the world. And as I was praying for people, as I was just getting deeper in prayer, God was starting to reveal things of people around me that were just deeper, of abuse, of just deep sin, of just emotional strongholds, of things that were just deep, you know, much more deeper than just simple prayers that I was used to praying. And I remember just getting overcome by it, just getting fed up, and I just started praying, God, make the hurting stop. Make the hurting stop. Just no more. Why don't you just come, Lord Jesus? Just come now and make the hurting stop. You say in Revelation 21:4, I will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. For the old order of ways has passed away. And I said, God, why not now? Why don't you just come now and end it? And I prayed this way for a while. Just come, Lord Jesus. Make the hurting stop. But God started to just reveal His power, that He is alive today. And Christ does not return, but His Spirit is alive today. And there is a reason why He has not returned yet. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24:14. See why He has not returned yet. What it will take. Says this in Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. You know, and in my selfishness of praying, you know, make the hurting stop. Just end it now, God. Just end it now, God. God just started to reveal His heart for these same people that I was praying for. And just revealing that I love because God first loved me. And any love that I have for someone around me is His love working through me. And for my heart to break for someone around me means His heart is breaking even more because His love is the greatest. And He says, I will not return until every tribe, tongue, and nation has heard the gospel message. You know, my heart was breaking for the few people that I knew around me in Virginia. God's heart breaks for the billions of people that don't know Him, that are in this world, that are just living in darkness. His heart breaks for them. And He longs for us to be His hands and feet and to go and to share this good news. And He will not return until this job is done, which is our job, to go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And as I read these scriptures, like Matthew chapter 10, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. Jesus gives these instructions to His disciples, telling them to prepare the way for Him. And He sent these disciples out into the towns where He was about to go. Okay, He said, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near, because Jesus was coming. Okay, He said, prepare the way. And that is His call for us as well. He calls us now to prepare the way. And we know it, you know, we pray it. The latter rains will be greater than the earlier rains. Okay? Than at Pentecost. Than when the gospel, you know, first went out. The latter rains will be greater. And He's going to use us to do these things. To heal the sick. To raise the dead. To cleanse those who have leprosy. To drive out demons. It's already happening. It's already happening here. It's already happening in Africa. The rest of Asia. It's already happening in the world. And He's calling us to do this. We're called to be His hands and His feet. John 13:34-35 says this, a new command I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. He says, just as I have loved you and healed you and strengthened you and just been with you and cared for you and spoken my truth into you, so you must love one another. And you know what this message said, this is what I want us to do tonight. If we're willing, I want us to just be able to love on one another. And what we're going to do is I'm going to pray, and then Christian's going to come up, and we're going to just sing a song, Come Lord Jesus Come. Okay, and we're just going to lift it up. Come, Lord Jesus, and ask for His return. And at the end of the song, or during the song, I want to encourage any of you who are weary and burdened, any of you who may be sick, any of you who may just be desiring a greater, just a fresh anointing, peace, anything that you would desire to be prayed for, I want to invite you to just come up and to receive. And this is the beauty, because this is God's love in action. You receiving His love and us sharing it with you by laying on of hands. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing this song. I'm going to pray. We'll sing. And I just want to invite any of you who would like to receive prayer for anything to come forward. And then we'll lay hands on you and just pray for you for an extended time. Let me pray.